Welcome to the Gamesmith's Table Talk. This is a roundtable format discussion where I and my guests try to cover three tabletop role-playing related topics in 15 minutes. If you know anything about tabletop role players, then you'll know that this is an ambitious goal. Let's head to the table. Welcome back to our Table Talk podcast. I'm your host, Clayton the Gamesmith, and joining me are...
I'm Franklin.
I'm Cheryl.
I'm Clark.
Let's head to the table.
The views and opinions of the panel are their own and do not reflect the views and opinions of any other individual company or organization. This podcast has been known to be opinionated. You have been warned.
Our first topic is on tabletop props. Do they matter? Do they enhance or distract from the game experience? I do believe Clark had something to say about this.
I believe tabletop props definitely enhance the gaming experience. It gives you like a visual that brings you into the game world, gives you something to connect to. Plus, a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into making accurate and thematic props, which I...
Yes, they do.
I enjoy very much so. Any fan of the channel here would definitely see the enjoyment that people get from that as a hobby in itself. I myself have made sigil coins for secret societies. I've had card boxes that were, you know, thematic to different adventures, like hero decks or tarot card readers. But in general, I think props of any kind are definitely an added bonus to any tabletop adventure.
Absolutely. Tabletop props just enhance that immersion value. I think the very first tabletop prop that I ever did in one of my games, back when I was GMing, was maps. You know, doing that whole, you burn the edges and you, do the coffee grind.
Aging it.
And stuff like that. And players just eat that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They will pour over like a map prop like it's gold. I really enjoy props.
Yeah, I definitely agree with a lot of things that have said. If I can offer sort of just the one major counterpoint is, and Clark touched on this briefly, time and effort is the big part of this. If you're creating a prop for your table, you want to think, how much time am I going to put into this versus how much use I'm going to get out of it? Is it really worth your time to sink 5 hours into a prop that you're going to use once and then never again? Probably not. But yeah, things like maps are an excellent example because a map is something that will be useful through an entire adventure, perhaps even an entire campaign if you have a large-scale map of a continent or a country that your world is taking place in. Yeah, absolutely, it might be worth the time to have a really good prop that you can use throughout.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of game companies are recognizing that, too, because you can get prop coins and potions and, you know, different in-game prop items that enhance the game experience, and you're starting to see a lot more channels, people building those props or places where you can buy those props for your gaming table.
That being said, it's certainly, you know, props like that aren't necessarily required for a good experience either. You have this is fundamentally an imagination game. And certainly, you know, to speak to a lot of stuff I read on the internet of new GMs feeling really overwhelmed because they've seen stuff online and, you know, other GMs have these amazing props and these fleshed out stories and all this stuff. And it's intimidating. Props are something that you don't necessarily need to worry too much about as a new GM. It's not like your players are going to be expecting you to have, you know, molded plastic of every maps of every single dungeon and things ready to go. For a simple, especially, you know, a short, small-scale one-shot adventure, some pencil lines on a piece of grid paper is usually good enough.
Mm-hmm. But with a little bit of time and creativity, it's amazing how many props you can make from regular dollar store items, like you've seen on the channel. A little bit of effort and a little bit of time, and it's quite incredible.
Yeah, my point is it's not a requirement to get started. It's a way to take your experience to the next level.
Absolutely, yeah.
My biggest challenge with tabletop props, because I use a lot of them, is the lack of, shall we say, enthusiasm from other people at the table. So you mentioned the time requirement and sometimes it's a financial investment to get something produced, particularly in a timely fashion, go without sleep, go without going somewhere or participating in something that you otherwise would have in order to get something done for the table. And then you put all this effort and energy into it, and you bring it out to the table, and people at the table look at it, and they nod or don't acknowledge it, or they just move on with their lives, and they're just like, oh yeah, okay. And then it's just like, it sucks the air out of the experience for me as A, as the GM, and B, as the person who made the item or items, that it's just like, okay, so I feel like I really don't need to invest anything in terms of props because no one cares. I could just say, you find a potion, instead of mixing a whole bunch of colored potion bottles and going through the time of labeling them or whatever, and just say, no, you find a potion, rather than putting half a dozen potions on the table and people reaching for them and, oh, this one's purple. I wonder what this one does.
Yeah, I think as a person that definitely prefers a more visual, gridded out, you know, combat orientated tabletop as opposed to theater of the mind, I definitely feel that the visual props bring me more into the storyline. It's more immersive and more, it gives you just an added visual connection, you know?
I agree. I also agree with Clayton in that generic props tend to have that underwhelming factor. But when you use props that mean something to the characters, therefore the players,
mm-hmm.
For instance, in our DC Heroes campaign, a lot of our players still have props that were given to their characters. Like, I know...
Are you talking about those business cards you made?
The business cards?
I still have mine. That was 20 years ago.
Actually had a constitution prop that we still have.
Yes, I still have that.
There's characters who still have the invitations to that ball.
Yep.
There's other characters who still have the ticket stubs.
Yes.
To the movie they went on with their first date.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So individual props can mean a lot more to the players. Like a simple, like if you're doing any role-playing session that involves a ball, simply making up the invitations and letting your players keep them,
mm-hmm.
right, is memorable.
I know people that would kept their like invitations to a dinner theater, a murder mystery.
Absolutely.
Because it's a visual token of that experience that you can reminisce on later, something that holds meaning.
Yeah, I think probably the common theme here is, papercraft props being kind of hit that nice middle ground between easy to execute and have a memorable payoff. I recall having the players have to sign a contract to participate in a martial arts tournament in a group I ran some years ago. And the look on their faces when they handed them a pen and an actual contract was pretty good.
Right.
Yep.
But there is an element of, in these sorts of circumstances, well, less can be more sometimes. A single prop used very well can be worth five or six props sprinkled in.
Mm-hmm. I've seen an actual invitation to a ball that was an in-game encounter. But the invitations were done in calligraphy, and it was like a royal invitation to this, and it was it added to the realism.
Now, a lot of what we've talked about comes from the GM, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the GM is the only person that can bring props to the table.
This is absolutely true, yeah.
A good example is there's quite a few people that we've played with that have used physical props to get them in their character.
Yeah.
Glasses, yeah. Dollar store glasses, very simple to, you know, get that feel of the character. A pipe. Absolutely.
A staff. So we saw that at the table.
Yep. One of those foam hammers.
So, yeah.
For a while there, I remember my DC character, I had my katana with me for a while to help me get into that character. Just stuff like that. And if you as a player feel like bringing that sort of prop, go for it. And don't let other people say that it's silly.
Yeah, it can definitely, if nothing else, it gives you sort of a point of focus. A physical object to play off of can mm-hmm. really help in that circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely agree with a lot of the props being initiated by the player out of interest for something that they want to enhance their character or a certain aspect of their game. Like the sigil coins I made were for a specific character. I can remember ordering a tarot box right from Romania, so it had that kind of authentic real-world feel for an adventure that used harrowing. Definitely something that you feel would enhance your own game experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not really going to comment on a lot of the individual pieces that I've done because I've done so many, other than to say making specific items can be, that's has already been said, has been memorable. I remember the Kingmaker charter
yep.
that people signed where
yep.
I had the red ink pad, but that signified cutting your thumb and signing it in blood.
Yep.
And comments afterwards like, okay, this just felt more real because it's like, oh, this is in my blood now. Ah.
Yeah, we had lots of discussions on whether or not to break that accord.
as a GM, Franklin's point about making sure that you are making things that have, and Cheryl's point too, that you, when you're making things for the table, that generic isn't as necessarily as impactful as specific tabletop props. But as a tabletop crafter, I absolutely have to make things for as many uses as possible. Because, like, the holy symbol that I made for Sarenrae, that's great, but someone has to be playing a cleric of Sarenrae to get any use out of it.
Exactly.
Right? So, yeah, it's a cool prop, but if it just sits on the table and never does anything, then, or it's a one-time use, then what's the point of making it? Just theater of the mind it. Whereas potion bottles and scrolls and wands and, you know, especially at Halloween when the costume stores open up and there's bracers and there's crowns and there's tiaras and there's earrings and there's jewelry and there's swords and there's masks and there's tons and tons of stuff to use.
He does have a closet full of those.
I do have a closet of all that stuff. Because it's generic enough, it's like, oh, you found some +3 bracers of defense. Here they are. Clink.
And to touch on that, I mean, if you have players who have problems remembering that they have certain things.
That is a big one, yeah.
Giving them a prop for it really helps. We had a player who was notorious for that. So she was given the ring that she found in physical form, the wand.
Yes.
And I think the potions. I mean, the rest of us just wrote our stuff down, but Clayton actually gave them to her in physical form. And she remembered to use them a lot.
It was often served as a reminder to the rest of us. Oh, yeah, I got that potion.
Yeah. So that can be helpful. And as we've said, it doesn't take a lot to put an effort into making some of these. Some can be just as easy as finding a font on a computer, writing out what you want to say, printing it out.
Yes.
Others, you know, take a stick, wrap some string around it. There's your wand.
Yeah.
There are those that really go out. I knew of one guy who had his spellbook leather bound the whole nine yards. And so he'd come and he'd have it all wrapped up and he'd unwrap it for his wizard. So it can be anything.
I'd also like to point out that the props should never be the story. The prop is important, but it shouldn't become the focus of what's going on at the table. It should be used as an enhancement.
Yes. The prop can be a reminder of the story and the story around where that prop came from. As I said, the ticket stubs.
Yeah.
Every time that they're brought out, the two characters started a conversation about it.
Yes. And what I'm speaking of is Cheryl will remember the time that everyone at the table had a prop sword.
Ah, yes.
And when we got into combat one time, there was some anarchy involved. Table flip. Yeah, props are fun, but don't let them take over the table.
All right, any final thoughts on props?
Just, yeah, like what I said to start, we've talked a lot about how there are low-cost, low-effort props that can get a really good result, really simple things. But just always be thinking, if you're making a prop, think, how much effort am I going to put into this versus how much use and how much fun am I going to get out of it? And as well, if there is a particular craft or particular hobby that you really enjoy, maybe find some way to use that to create your prop so that the creation of the prop can be part of the fun of using the prop.
Yes. And when you see your, you know, GM and your fellow players going through the effort of making these props, let them know that you appreciate their doing these things, particularly for things that they don't have to be elaborate, but they just need to know, those people need to know that their efforts are at the table are appreciated.
Yes. And if you happen to be the lone person in your group that isn't doing props, don't feel bad about that either. Not everybody gets the same enjoyment out of it. Not everybody has the artistic to put something up. Any last words?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
All right.
All right.
And see you at the table.